Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. This morning, we just thank you that you instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go. I just pray we wouldn't be like the horse or mule who have no understanding, but that actually, Lord, your word and your spirit would teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak about the power of peace, the power of God's peace, and how peace and the power of the Spirit go together. How, where there is peace, often that's where the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. And if we lose peace, personally, or in our relationships, we can get into trouble. And we lose power, we lose the manifest presence. We don't lose Jesus, but we lose the manifestation or the revealing or the showing up of God in our lives and in our circumstances. And so peace obviously is the most important thing because Jesus died for our sins to pay all our debts on the cross. That those who believe and follow him, trust in him, which means actually not just a prayer, but a life of following, trusting Jesus, will not perish but have eternal life. Believe in their heart and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and accept him as their Lord and Savior. And we find peace with God because he forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But peace is an important subject. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, the word says, above all these things, verse 14, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And verse 15, let the peace of God rule where? In your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And then it says, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. So in other words, peace is to be ruling on the inside of you, and it's also to rule the way we relate to each other in one body. We're the body of Christ. So each one of us is part of the body if we belong to Jesus. And so how we relate and how we live internally is really important. Now the word let the peace of God rule, to rule means let peace be your umpire. Now, England are doing well currently in the footy, but there is a referee for every match. And whenever the ball goes out, the whistle blows. And the ref says, out, and gets things going again as they should go. And so what the scriptures are saying is, if you lose your peace, you need to know that there is an alarm bell going off. If you're not living on the inside in peace, a whistle should go off or an alarm should go off, because peace is the inheritance of every child of God. Jesus said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. But we have a part to play in letting that peace rule. In other words, don't lose it. And if you lose it, get it back. Okay? So you can recover your peace, the peace of God. It's not a natural thing, it's supernatural. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But have you noticed if you ever try and struggle to pray for someone, and especially when the Spirit's moving like he is, and come and invite the Holy Spirit to use you in prophecy and the gifts of the Spirit, how if you're stressed out, the Spirit doesn't flow? Has anybody ever noticed that? If you get stressed about the gifts of the Spirit, how do you know? There isn't a movement, there isn't the flow of the Spirit, so there's no supernatural flow. So if you feel the pressure coming on, my recommendation is to turn to Jesus, say, I'm going to live at peace, Lord, because it's Christ in me, God in me, with you in me, all things are possible. I'm going to trust you to bless this person through me. completely different to, I've got to come up with a word. Okay, so how can you see how stress damages a move of the Spirit through an individual's life? For real. It stops the Spirit using you and flowing through you like a river. So let peace be an umpire, and if you lose it, definitely it's time to recover peace. Jesus faced daily pressure. He was under pressure from people, from Pharisees, religious people who always wanted to trip him up or make him do what they wanted him to do. And his goal on earth was to fulfill the Father's will, which I must say must have been quite a weighty responsibility, to be the Savior of the world. Would you not think that was a big job? It's the biggest job ever. And you don't see him stressed. You see him living at rest and in internal peace, because he knew that he had the helper, the Holy Spirit, but he also knew his role in life was to do the will of the Father, finish the work that God had given him, and accomplish everything the Father had for him to do, then go back to the Father. He knew. And so, but he wasn't pressurized, even though, can you imagine being someone who could heal all diseases and there are no hospitals? And everybody wants you. I call that pressure. And I know many of you experience it in your own world in some way and in your call. But Jesus was a person of peace. When the Spirit came on him, the Spirit came as a dove. Yeah, because the dove settles on a person of peace. That was the symbol of peace. Jesus was a person who lived at peace with God, at peace internally. And even though sometimes he spoke to people in different ways, like hypocrites and vipers, he used those words of those who were fake, he never lost his peace internally, because he knew he lived in right relationship with God throughout. And you know, Jesus said, and I love these words, I don't love the first bit, but I love what he's done. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble. So that's the bit none of us really like. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So in other words, whatever trouble you face, the one who has overcome lives in you and has already overcome it. Did you get it? I mean, that's mega. So whatever you're facing in trouble and storms causing you unrest, the overcomer, he's already overcome it. Be of good cheer. No wonder you can be happy, or even in a storm, and live at peace, because he has overcome the world. He's overcome everything. And because of your God's presence in you, you're an overcomer through his ability. Now, Jesus spoke these words. We're going to look at how to live in peace, how to live free from stress and pressure. Anybody love the word, how to live free from pressure, internal unrest? I love this word. So Jesus teaches famous words here, but let's just unpack them a bit and walk through them, okay? So just let's be disciples of the truth today and listen to what Jesus really said. In verse 28 of chapter 11 of Matthew, famous words, wonderful words, life-saving words. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So this, you could say, is how Jesus says to live in internal rest. You know, I was walking this week and the Lord gave me a word. He just spoke it to my spirit. And it's from what Jesus spoke about anxieties and stress. And we all have certain pressures and anxieties. And he said, consider the lily, they neither toil nor spin, but your Father makes them grow. Consider the lily of the field. It doesn't toil. It's not really working hard to make life happen. It's not laboring. Toil is labor without God. Working without God. So you remember the fishermen, they went out and toiled all night and caught nothing. That is fruitless work. And unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. So in other words, as soon as God's word comes to Peter and Jesus speaks to Peter, then that work, he went out and did the same work, but it was different because it was God's initiative. Because God said, Jesus said to do it. So in other words, toiling is working independently of God. And you'll sweat and it will be fruitless. But working with what Jesus is saying to do, you see the fruit, you see the harvest. Spinning, has anybody been to a spinning class or even watched anybody do a spinning class? You spin, 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 spin. But have you ever felt that on the inside? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Spinning on the inside. Everything's going unrest. Your mind is anxious. You can't sleep because of your thoughts. They're going like a pinball machine. Boing, 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 everywhere. And once you finish with that, the enemy wakes you up if you do manage to drop off to sleep and bring back another thought. Toiling and spinning and struggling and striving and anxiety, fear of uncertainty. Jesus said, it's not my will for my people. I don't want you to live in stress. The whistle is blowing if you are. The pressure, if you're feeling internal, immense pressure, the whistle is blowing. The alarm is sounding. We need to find the way of peace and to recover peace personally. Today we live in a society where tech, everything's racing ahead and we're all trying to catch up. Even young people are catching up. It changes so fast. And it's producing more and more anxiety and depression. And if that moves into the body of Christ, into the church, into a believer's life, then all kinds of problems can happen. Stress is actually dangerous to health. Doctors would say 90-odd, even 95% of physical diseases and sicknesses and mental health happen as a result of stress. Now, only Jesus can actually relieve people of stress. Doctors might give you a tablet, but Jesus gives you himself. He gives you himself. He is the Prince of Peace, and he puts his spirit within you to minister peace to you. Depression. Often, you know, I think anxiety can lead to depression, but often depression comes from angry, resentful people who things don't turn out like they want. How many of you ever had life turn out like you wanted? I haven't. Has anybody in the room ever had all of your life turn out like it? Okay. Some people get mad about that with God or with their Christian life, and they get angry, and they actually get depressed. But what's the problem? Resentment. A little bit miffed. And that miffed people aren't really peaceful people to live with. They cause all kinds of relational stresses, and actually are very, very hard to walk with through life. But how about saying this morning, not me, I'm not going to live like that. Because Jesus is showing me the way to live free from anxiety, even if I don't get what I want. Jesus said, come to me, I'm going to give you. So it's a gift. Rest is a gift. Peace is a gift. You don't work for it. Oh, isn't that the best news? We live by faith. We don't live by works. Peace and rest is a gift. And then he says, you will find rest. So that speaks of you and me playing a part to find, do something to be living in rest. Rather than passively saying, oh God, give me a stress-free life. It's not a prayer. It's a discovery. It's an activity that you partner with Jesus in to find rest. And he doesn't leave you to your own thinking about how. He says here, come to me. So first of all, engage with me and ask me to help. Is that okay? Come to me. Engage. Engage your heart and your brain, your mind and your mouth and say, Lord, I need help. And then he says what to do. How to find that incredible rest and peace for your soul. He says, take my yoke on yourself, on you. My yoke on you. Now, yoke is often referred to in teaching as like an ox, two oxen. You're walking with Jesus. One of them, one of you is with a master or a lead ox, and you're yoked. It's like a wooden template or whatever, whatever. You know what a yoke is. So you put it over the oxen so they can walk together and pull a plow. But actually, that's not what it meant in the Jewish mind. In Hebrew thinking, a yoke is a master's or a rabbi's teaching and lifestyle. So, in other words, Jesus is saying, if you want to live a life of rest, and by the way, that's not having to lie down until you go to glory. Okay? Oh, I need a rest. I need a rest. You don't go through life saying, I need a rest. Jesus says, the rest I'm going to give you is a walk with me in purpose. It's not a rest life. You will rest one day forever in heaven. This is the time to work for the Lord, to do his work, labor for him. And he says, come to me, take my yoke, my teaching, and my way of life. Aren't you glad that you know how to do life right? Because you have his word, take my teaching. Blessed are the pure in heart. That's the teaching of Jesus. So if I have a pure heart and I don't look at filth and I don't focus on all the wrong things, I'm going to see God. That's his teaching. Following his lifestyle, the way he lived his life, prayer. If people don't pray, Pastor Colin says this, but I will repeat it until I go to glory. If people don't pray, they're proud. If you haven't got time to pray, you're proud. Because you live independent of God and do the day without him. So that means you're saying to God, I can do this. Saying, I can do life. But Jesus says, take my yoke. But the way of life is to pray. The way of life is to seek first the kingdom. I'm so glad he shows me what to do with my money. Giving, tithing. I believe that his way of life works. And I find rest in doing the teaching of Jesus. Not hearing only. Jesus said, the fool hears my teaching and doesn't do it, and is like a man who built his life on sand, because the storms will come and what will happen? Destruction. But the wise person applies my word, my teaching, and he will be like the one, when the storms come, you stand, you last. The storms can't come in and get you. I want to be wise, do you not a fool? And Jesus says, if you want rest for your soul, you want my peace, walk according to my word. Jesus said, you're my disciples. If you continue in my truth, in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You'll have a healthy internal life. You might have troubles all around, but on the inside will be rest and peace. Thank you, Jesus. Come to me. Take my yoke. A Christian is more than a prayer. It's a walking, a lifestyle with Jesus, doing his word. That's where you see a move of God. Christians yoked, doing the teaching of Jesus. The Spirit moves when we apply what Jesus says relationally in every area. Oh, it's wonderful. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Often Jesus, learning in the sense of what Jesus was talking about, is ask me some questions. I'll answer you. When you don't know, ask. And my Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will take what is of mine and he'll declare it to you. He'll never speak outside the counsel of Jesus' teaching and his word. But he said, ask. Ask questions. I'll answer you. So often I'll pray, Lord, I don't know what to do, and I'll wait. And sometimes the answer doesn't come exactly when I want it. But I've asked him, and at some point I'll get it. I'll get an answer. I'll understand what he is saying. Learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. We have quite a lot of parents in the church, young parents. And it's really, you know, it's quite a weight, but you can find rest in it. Because Jesus has come to me. Learn my way of parenting. Be humble. Don't take on your own opinions. Isn't it interesting how sensitive some parents are not in this church? But how none would be oversensitive and say, no, I'm going to do it this way. But isn't it interesting how parents can be oversensitive about, I know I'm right. And I don't mean to say a parent doesn't know what's best for their children in terms of practical outworkings. But when it comes to God's will for your family, learn his way and you will find rest. Not just now, but in your future. Do life God's way. Be gentle and humble. Be teachable. Be willing to yield, not sticking to your opinion. Listen. Has anybody ever cut across you and said, actually, I don't think you're right. Pastor Andrea can do it to me quite a lot. And I'm really grateful. How many of you are grateful for people that cut across you and say, actually, I don't know that you're right about that? Okay, that's called discipleship. That's why we are here to walk together. And she disciples me. I know I'm the leader of the church and she's leader with me, but I'm not, if I get to a point where I'm not listening no more, it's dangerous. And if you don't have anybody speaking, learn of me. What did Jesus do? Taught people in groups. They walked together. There was interaction. And I don't believe at all. You know, if you're learning of Jesus, you'll never be an independent, out-of-church Christian. You'll belong to a local church, relationally, and do life with others. Learn of me. I am gentle and humble. And you have to humble yourself. You know, some people have the blessing of intelligence. Other people have the blessing of mercy. But how many of you know sometimes the intelligent are taught by the merciful? Because it's not your brain that knows everything, it's God. His ways are always right. So sometimes when you're very clever and you get saved, it can be a bit of a challenge to your flesh about who God puts you with. And I remember when I was first saved, I was put, with, selected personally by God, because that's who he puts you in place, in the body. I was like, well, what am I doing with this lot? And God was saying, what am I going to do through this lot, in your life? I'm going to change you. And they taught me the ways of God. And I went in, just saved, but a bit full of myself. And I had to learn, God uses the gentle, the humble in heart. Amen. And that kind of life, or internal living, that way of life leads to rest and peace. Even if your circumstances aren't great. And if you've lost your peace, check out, am I walking in his yoke? Am I doing what Jesus said to do? That's what he's saying. If you lose peace, come to me. Ask me some questions. Because I want you to live in peace. So find out, am I living and doing what Jesus said to do? Or am I just asking for peace without walking the walk? Because there's no power of the Spirit in pretend. It's in the walk. Yoked with Jesus. Isn't it interesting, you know, we love this verse, but actually it means Jesus is saying, I need to make changes as a process of my life. As I go through my life, I need to make some changes. You know, I believe the most restful people are the most obedient. Because the Spirit, his presence, the dove, settles on those who live at peace with God, walking with God in truth, and seeing God use them, manifest Jesus to the world. And a stressed out, unrested, internally people can't see the flow of the Spirit to bless and minister to others. You haven't got any more reserves. You're just maintaining, trying to get through life. And beloved, never God's will to be so over-resourced and not coping that you don't find the solution that Jesus said. Come to me, these are the keys. Learn of me, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'll give you rest, but it'll be internal. You might have to go back into that situation, but you'll be different in it. You'll be different in it because I've given you the secrets. I've given you the keys. I've shown you what to do. You've learned from me what to do. Meekness is strength under control. Gentleness is strength under control. So we've all got strength, by the way, and it's called flesh. I can choose to do my will, or I can have strength under control. Under the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I have self-control to do God's will, to pray. That's strength under control. To go and do what God wants me to do at the time he wants me to do it. That's strength under control. Jesus lived constantly doing what the Father was showing him to do. He did the will of his Father, and he lived, whilst all around there was pressure, he lived in peace. Now, the next approach to how we can lose peace. Let's just turn to Ephesians, and we're going to just take 10 minutes for this, and then we're going to pray. If you've lost your peace, you can get it back. And the application of Matthew 11 will get it back for you. He will give it back. I will give you rest. Wonderful. Oh Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be deceived and that we would find rest for our souls and live out of rest, out of inner peace. So that we have authority in every storm to still it. So that we have peace that means we're not afraid and irritable and restless. Always restless like a restless sea. I want this, I want that, I want that, I want that. Lord, I pray take the restlessness out so that we walk with you through our days. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Ephesians 4. Paul's speaking about putting on the new man, and he's saying, put away lying, don't be angry. He's talking about our relationships now. Now, what's interesting to me is, in our relationships, we don't just hurt others if we behave badly. We do hurt others. But we also hurt God if we don't treat people right. So the way we treat people can either empower the work of the Spirit or release the Spirit in your life and through your life and into your marriage, your friendships, and into your workplace. Or the way we treat people wrong can actually grieve the Spirit. And says here in verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve. Now, Paul is saying, don't make the Holy Spirit sad. That's what the word grieve means. It means to be sorrowful or sad. Don't make the Holy Spirit sad. Don't hurt him by the way you behave, the things you do, the things you say. Now, that's because the Spirit lives within us. But he withdraws from us when we grieve him. He doesn't leave. Aren't you glad about that? He doesn't leave, but he withdraws. Has anybody ever felt that withdrawing? If you're honest, you will have felt that he's drawn back, which means there isn't a manifestation or a demonstration of the life of God in your life. Because he's withdrawn. How many of you know if you hurt someone, they can withdraw from you? In your relationships with people, if you hurt them, they go, and you're like, you could insist that, be nice to me. And they're like, I'm hurting. That's what you can do to God. That's what I can do. Can I put it down to me? I can grieve the Holy Spirit. I want to find out what pleases him. And I also need to know what grieves him. Because if I know what grieves him, I can make sure I don't do that. Now, one thing that you'd be clear probably as a Christian, you know that sin grieves him. Sin means missing his mark. It means doing things intentionally or doing things that are wrong. And he withdraws. And what's scary to me is a story that you read of in Samson. Samson was anointed by the Holy Spirit. God anointed him to destroy the enemy. And so are you. To win victories for Jesus. But he was tempted and enticed. But actually sin, the temptation, it's actually your own heart that leads you astray. You can't blame the devil if you fall into sin. How many of you know that? Mature believers here today. The devil never made you do it, even though he tempted you to. Your heart wanted and was led astray to sin. Now, the sin that Samson was involved in was sexual sin. And one of the biggest traps in the world and in the church is this era of online pornography. And many are ensnared by it, are trapped. And the Lord withdraws from those who are involved in porn or in other kinds of sin. It doesn't matter whether it's not just sexual sin, but all kinds of sin. He withdraws. Now, what's interesting to me, and this is what's scary, is that the Philistines came again, and Samson had compromised and shared his secrets because He was being hassled, and he gave in. And it says he stood up, he shook himself. You can read of it in Judges. And he expected the anointing to give him a victory. He's one of those people that thought you could turn God on like a tap. I can live like I want and turn him on like a tap. God is not a plaything. He is God. He's holy. And this is the danger of over-grace teaching, which means I can live like I like and he will forgive me. Praise God, there's always forgiveness. But it's not to abound in sin, but to abound in a righteous life. There's grace to change and mercy. Samson shook himself and expected the anointing to bring him the victory. And it's written, he didn't realize the Lord had departed from him. It's scary that you might not know. It's scary that you could be in compromise and sin and living a hidden life. And you wouldn't even know that when you call on the Lord, he doesn't answer you. And you don't know that you're in that place. And God says, don't grieve me. He doesn't leave in the new covenant. Praise God. Aren't you grateful? There's forgiveness for all sin. He doesn't leave us. But we must realize we lose peace if we live and live in sin or have sinned. We lose peace with God. Therefore, we lose the manifestation of the Spirit. Get it? Righteousness comes first and then peace. Which is why Jesus said, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we come back into a righteous state. Righteousness is a gift, but we need to make sure that we confess our sins. Now, what about the New Testament? You could say to me, Pastor Judith, that's the Old Testament. We're under this amazing time of grace, which is true. Well, I don't know if you've read Acts 5, but if we had a little chat with Ananias and Sapphira, imagine us doing a little interview up here today with this couple. What did they do? It wasn't sexual sin. They lied about their offering. They pretended they were doing something that they weren't doing. But what the Holy Spirit said, they did it, you could think it was happening to the church and they wanted to appear something they weren't. Look how great we are. Look at us. We're doing great. We're great disciples. And the Holy Spirit, through Peter, said, you lied against the Holy Spirit. In other words, you've grieved the Spirit in lying to the body and pretending in front of people. But God sees. God knows everything. And Ananias and Sapphira, how would you say that day went? Well, they were carried out, dead. This is new covenant, move of God time. How many of you want a move of God? How many want the fear of the Lord to be restored? Because in any move of God, the fear of God will happen wherever the Holy Spirit moves. I want to see the Spirit move. I want my life not to grieve the Holy Spirit. But, you know, the good news is, you remember David sinned, really committed murder and adultery. And it says, and if you read it in the Psalms, your hand was heavy on me. Like I felt this conviction, this heaviness. Thank God for conviction. This isn't condemnation, it's conviction. I felt heavy on the inside. If you're a believer and you've got the Spirit in you, thank God you don't feel comfortable sinning. And if you do, you need to be saved. Or you're so far gone, you've lost consciousness. You can have a seared conscience if you keep going. And you don't even know anymore. You feel nothing of the presence. You don't feel the Lord. But David said, I felt the heaviness of God on me. But you know what he did? He said, until I acknowledged my sin. You know, nothing works until I acknowledge, Lord, I've lost peace, I've sinned, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that, said that, I shouldn't have thought that, I shouldn't have watched that, I shouldn't have done, said, whatever it is. Forgive me, Father. And you know what? Immediate forgiveness, guilt-free, just as if I'd never sinned. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. He wipes us white as snow. There is no remembrance of that sin before God. Praise God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to read these verses and then we're going to pray. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, that means angry shouting and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ in God forgave you. Oh, how many of you are grateful that the very worst thing you've ever done, that if you've confessed it, nobody in this room knows about it? How many of you know that what you don't want is to not forgive someone else of your worst sin and the little thing that they did, and you then get it all back into your account together with demons coming to torment you? So there is... the teaching of Jesus is that I will forgive you if you forgive others. So in other words, I forgive you freely. I've paid your debt. Now pay their debt. They did wrong, but pay the debt. Forgive them. In the body of Christ, we must have forgiveness. In our families, our relationships. Come on, church. Come on, church. We need to operate in, I'm not counting your sins against you, because I've forgiven them. The debt is clear. Is there anyone in the church you're holding anything against? Is there anyone in your family, in your history, who's hurt you? God says, forgive. I will forgive you. Live without anger, criticism, explosions. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. If you're mad with somebody, you're not allowed for the day to start to end without it, or you're not allowed. You can do what you like, but Jesus says you'll be healthy and have great relationships if you forgive before the end of the day. Don't let the anger burn in you, such a resentment that you get depressed and down and sad and don't know what's wrong, because you've actually lost the presence, the manifest presence of God. He's still with you. He's still in you, but you're not experiencing God at all. I want what he wants. I want to please him in my relationships. I don't want to hold anything against any of you. And if we as a church or as individuals want to see the Holy Spirit move and live in this internal rest, if the whistle has blown on anything today, put it right, get it back, get your peace back. Don't leave this meeting or this morning or listening to this message without peace. Finding peace with God again. Amen. Because the Spirit works, the power of the Spirit works where there is peace. Peace through forgiveness of sins. Peace through forgiving others as they have hurt you. Or you just don't like the way they've treated you. Christians are so edgy sometimes. Iffy. They get so upset by the smallest things. And people are dying for their faith in other countries and saying, Father, forgive them. And we won't forgive because someone didn't notice us. I mean, it's crazy. But you see, the enemy is waiting for that to jump in and start to cause havoc in your life. Watch it. Don't lose your peace. Jesus said, come to me. Let's stand. Let's come to Jesus. I know this is a meat word, not milk. But it's because we want to see the fear of God come on our lives and see a move of the Spirit. So let's just take some time just to respond to what the Spirit has said to you this morning. Maybe you've been stressed out internally. You've got no rest in your mind. Your circumstances, you know, they might never change, but God, who lives in you, has overcome whatever you're facing. Just let's come to Jesus. Lord, we come to you. Engage with you and ask for your help. Thank you that you promise rest, an internal rest and peace, a peace that passes understanding. And Lord, we want to take upon our lives your teaching, your word. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, what's right. They shall be filled. Oh Lord, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, don't just think how great they are, but they need you. They're desperate for your kingdom, desperate for you. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we come to you today, dependent on you as our Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you that it's your will that we live anxiety, stress-free lives. And Lord, I pray that in any area where we're not following the teaching of Jesus, we're not building our lives as wise people, our families, our homes, our finances, our purpose, Lord, in life. Lord, you haven't just called us to work. You've called us to work with you. And we want you to be the lead voice in our lives. The lead voice in our families. The lead voice in your church. Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. You're our helper. Help us, Lord, to walk in the teaching of Jesus. And we will find rest for our souls. Thank you for a rest. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. Thank you. It's because your Spirit enables us to do your will. Praise you, Father. And Lord, in any way that we grieve you, we want to understand, first of all, that we can. And that we may not even recognize we've done it, but we have sensed a withdrawing, a lack of the manifest presence of Jesus. In our relationships, Lord, we don't want to grieve you in the body, in our families and homes and marriages and friendships. Lord, 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 I pray forgiveness and release of people from debts would happen right now. Is there anyone you need to forgive first? Maybe they've hurt you really in your family. Maybe it's been a family issue for years and years. Oh, come on. Don't let your life be hindered and trapped by the enemy. With holding on to unforgiveness and offense. Forgive freely. Just make an act, a decision of your heart. Father, I forgive. I release them from their debts so I can live fully released from my own. I forgive as you have forgiven me. Kind and tender-hearted, Lord, keep me tender in my heart, not speaking angrily and always critical, tearing people down. Pray that husbands would be gentle and kind. Fathers would be gentle and kind. I pray, Father, that mums would be living out of rest and peace and not irritable and stressed out. I pray, Father, that our children will grow up in families of peace, Lord. Peace, peace, peace to homes. I pray that in our own minds and hearts, Lord, we would live in peace. And Lord, all of it is to see your glory. I just want to thank you. It's the fruit of your presence in us. That your presence goes with us and gives us rest. And Lord, if we have sinned, whether it's a sexual sin online or if any have sinned in any way, you've put your finger on this morning. Thank you. You bring things into the light so that we can confess them and they can be removed, forgiven forever. Never to be remembered again. So, beloved, if you have been involved in hidden sin, confess it. If you've been lying, or you live constantly angry, outbursts of anger, just say, Lord, I need your help. I ask your forgiveness. Help me, Holy Spirit, to live differently. I'm going to take on the teachings of Jesus to walk in the light with my brothers and sisters. Walk together with others so that I can see your glory personally and through my life. Manifest your glory to your people as we walk in the light. The light of your countenance, Lord, your favor. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that it will be our intention not to grieve you in our relationships with one another, but actually to be at peace and love each other as you've loved us. Thank you for the move and the atmosphere of the Spirit being restored in your body. In Jesus' name. You know, if there's anything you need to put right with somebody else in the church or a family member, you need to say sorry. Humble yourself and say it. You know, pride stops you saying sorry. It's the opposite to learning about Jesus. It's the opposite to his way. Say sorry. Be someone who can say, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Okay? And I believe this word, we're going to finish by praying for the fear of the Lord. Because as we walk in the fear of the Lord, the Holy Spirit will move and we will see God do what he's always said he would do through our lives. So, Father, we lift our hands to you. Thank you that you're a good Father. Thank you for your forgiveness that flows freely, your mercy. Thank you for the honor of the Holy Spirit in us. And thank you for what you've spoken to us about living in rest and not toiling and spinning this morning. But, Lord, I ask for the fear of the Lord on my life to come in new ways, that I wouldn't be able to do the things that maybe I used to do, because you are bringing us into a narrow way which leads to life. I pray we would be the few that find it. I want to be one of the few that finds the narrow way to walk in the way of peace, peace with God and peace with others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Expect the Holy Spirit to alert you to stuff you shouldn't be doing. And when he does, be sensitive and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to walk in the fear of God. Praise God. I love what the Spirit's doing. It's not always comfortable. How many of you know it's not comfortable? But God is clearing us out so that we can live in peace and enjoy our inheritance, but also enjoy the Spirit working through us and through our families. Watch your relationships. Preserve your relationships in the body. And keep a good heart. Keep a good heart. Bless you. Praise God. See you next weekend. And don't forget to book in online for the Barbie, the couple of Barbies that we're running, because we'd love to join together and enjoy that. Have a great afternoon. Don't forget, anything to put right, put it right. If you've got something burning on your heart you just need to say sorry for, do it, and you'll be free. Bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.